if the Seattle management isn't giving you their time of day, what makes you think that Jerry Jones is going to listen to you?
Sometimes they're blowing teams out by 10. Come on now. When they're on, they're on.
Again, I'm going to need you to write LeBron a letter, send it to him, and say, "Bron, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to hop off your bandwagon. Don't do that."
Welcome to Stir the Pot Sports, presented by Clover Crest Media Group and CMG Podcast. We're streaming live on StreamYard. I am your host, JJ Vargas, here alongside my brothers, Riley Barrett and Sander Sanchez. How are you guys doing?
Chilling, you?
We good, baby.
I'm excited. It's Wednesday, it's hump day, and we got some really great news to start the day. You know, we love the fight game here, so that's where I'm going to start, because Dana White announced Poirier versus McGregor 3 is going to happen. And I got to make sure when I say this, guys, that I say Poirier versus McGregor, because Poirier now, he's in a position of power. He won the last fight. And so at the moment, he got the upper hand. But I'm very excited about this fight, Pride. It'll take place in July. Give me 1 second to remember that date. July 10th. So I'm very excited about it. Can't wait. It's going to be a classic. So what do you think about it, Pride?
So, hands down, I'm just going to go on. I'm going to say Conor's going to get the win. It's just this, obviously, this is going to be a great fight, obviously. Whoever wins this will probably end up being the challenger for the champion, whoever it may be, whether it's Chandler or Oliveira. Doesn't matter. They're probably going to be in line next. So, right now, Conor's is, weirdly enough, the favorite. And when I first saw that, I thought it was weird. I'm like, he just came off an L. Dustin kind of, in essence, dominated that whole fight. You know, like, you just knew whether if it was 2 rounds, 3 rounds, 5 rounds, 11 rounds, won't matter. Dustin was going to end up winning. Then, obviously, with the leg kicks, I brought Conor down. What kind of got me a little, when I noticed he was a favorite, I took a step back. And I overlooked Conor's record. I started to look through it because I was like, why is he, like, you know, why is he still the favorite? So he has 5 losses on his record, right? Those 5 losses, do you know how many of those came back to back? I'm gonna ruin it for you. None. Zero. Mm-hmm. Zip. So it's not every single time Conor takes an L, he reevaluates himself. He goes, this is what I did right, this is what I did wrong, and then he comes back better. He's never in his career had back to back losses. So with that, I kind of realized that, and I'm like, you know what? There's no way Conor's gonna disrespect the game this fight. Like he did last time. There's no way. Like, if you do that back to back,
not to cut you off, but he ain't Kevin Holland.
Right, exactly. Like you know, like, you know what I mean? Because like Conor's a legit dude. He's a legit fighter. So I started looking into it, and I'm like, the more I looked into it, the more I kind of realized, you're like, Conor right now, I'm not gonna say this is the toughest fight, but in terms of right now, Conor needs his dub. He needs it. I'm not gonna say bad. But I'm pretty close to bad. Like, if he loses, because right now he's ranked 6th, and Dustin is ranked number 1, right? So let's say Conor wins, right? Dustin's going to get knocked down, what, 1, maybe 2 spaces? He's still going to be top 3. So in terms of the title hunt, Dustin's still going to be in there. If Conor, who's number 6, loses, because think about it, whoever wins this, like, yeah, exactly. Like, whoever wins this is going to be in the title picture. Another dude who's still in the title picture, who I'm actually kind of surprised isn't in the fight, Justin Gaethje. He's ranked top 3. So, he's still kind of waiting for, now that Khabib's gone, he's now waiting for his time to, you know, let me try to redeem myself. So, you know, me personally, I got Conor. But, you know, Conor definitely does need to take this one. Because, like I said, bro, where does he go? If he loses, there's really nowhere he could really go. And honestly, Conor probably does he want to win the fight? Yeah. But he doesn't necessarily have to. Like, if he loses, his life isn't over. This isn't a guy like JDS. This isn't a guy like Cain Velasquez. This isn't even a guy like Khabib or Tony, who, like, fighting is all they got. Conor's a business dude. Like, he's branching out and he's doing all these extra stuff. So Conor, right now, he's 32. If he loses and he understands, yo, the title, right now the title is not close to me at all. He's going to dip. And it's best because think about it. Like I said, Conor doesn't need to fight all his
life. $100 million
He doesn't need it. He's chilling. Like, he's got everything in order for him to be straight. So does Conor really need this fight? If we're talking about like title contention, yes. But people were trying to make it seem like, oh yeah, Conor's legacy is online. I'm like, no, it's not. Like, let's pump the brakes. His legacy was online against Eddie Alvarez and freaking Aldo. Let's pump the brakes. This is not no legacy fight for Conor. If you think this is a legacy fight, one of two things. Either you're stupid or you just found out what UFC stood for. One or the other. Because if you watch this, if you watch his whole career, you're not going to sit there and tell me that this is more important than the Nick Diaz fight. You can't tell me that. Than either one of them. And you can't tell me it's more important than the Nurmagomedov fight. You can't tell me that either. So, like, you know, like a lot of people are like, oh, my God, this is legacy. This isn't really a legacy fight for him. This is more along the lines of, do I still have it? Can I still hang with, in essence, the best of the best? Because Conor understands, bro, I'm a businessman. Like, I'm not going to be out here, you know, as he says in his words, I'm not going to fight for bum money. And he doesn't have to. Because fighting isn't, you know, that's not everything to him. He's being a businessman and all that stuff. So how do I think it's going to play out? I think I got Conor winning. I think he's going to come back. He's going to be like, okay, I got to check the leg kicks. I got to be smarter on how to teach IQ because Conor's not dumb. So I'm saying is Conor's going to take him deep into the second round, and then you're going to see him touch him. And it's kind of like how he touched Eddie Alvarez. When Eddie was falling, he was still touching him somehow. I don't know how the hell he managed that. Round? But he was still touching him, bro. Yeah, I got in the second round. I got Conor getting the TK win on Dustin.
That's good. I mean, you made a really valid point, Brian, and I'm there with you with Conor winning the fight. But I got Conor winning the fight in the later rounds, probably in the fourth round, fifth round, outlasting Poirier a little bit, getting him gassed out. Because Poirier, we know him, probably. He's a brawler. He could swing. He's a great contact hitter as well. He does carry weight behind those gloves. I noticed with Poirier, when he fights in those later rounds, he is normally gassed. He can still swing, but he's gassed. And with a guy like Conor, I think Conor's smart enough to understand what he did wrong in the last week. Without checking those kicks, I think he'll do a better job of it this go round. And, you know, that's what I'm saying. He'll outlast Poirier in the later rounds. But, guys, I'm very excited about this card because it's a full house. It's packed. We're going to actually see fans, hear the fans again, hear the roar of the fans again. And, you know, I feel like this is a towards, you know, normality again. And shout outs to Dana White and the UFC for being able to put this product out during the pandemic, not letting us down. We had some of the greatest cards that we've seen during the pandemic. And, you know, if the fans were there, it would have only made the spectacle even bigger. You telling me Conor McGregor showing up in a Lamborghini yacht with a packed full house, that wouldn't have been epic? I'm just saying, like, having fans there again, I'm so excited for that. It's a great card as well. So, you know, Dana White is not letting us down, guys. My only concern for Conor McGregor is the fact that, like you said, right, he doesn't need it. He has $100+ million in the bank. I feel like when the fight game, if you're not in it 100%, it shows more than any other sport. Because when your mental is not there and it's not right and you don't have that desire, that hungriness, a guy like Dustin Poirier, who will gladly fight McGregor 10 times because he knows those checks are coming. Dudes like that are hungry. And Conor McGregor, regardless to his losses on Pride, he's still the biggest draw in the UFC. So anybody would gladly love to fight this man because they know the type of money that they can get from it. So I think Conor, I need to see that Eddie Alvarez Conor. I need to see that Jose Aldo Conor in this fight. Because if he loses this fight, we talked about it earlier, I think he should just hang him up because he doesn't need to continue to go through a gauntlet because that division that it is, 1 through 10, my God, is stacked. So it's like you said he's at 6 right now. If he were to take an L, he's probably going to drop out of the top 10 or maybe at 10 at best. And at that point, is it worth making another title run? Because he is 32. Yes, he's not that old, but he's not young at that age. You know what I mean? And to go through that gauntlet, dude, you got tough matchups. You have Charles Oliveira, a title contender, who's going to fight on Michael Chandler. You got Chandler coming from Bellator and showing what it really is. And, dude, that division, like, I just don't see if Conor loses this fight being able to make a run. So I know it's not a legacy fight, Pride, but it's kind of like adding a gem to the gauntlet. You feel me? It's kind of like or adding a feather to the cap. You know what I'm trying to say? It's like it's not needed, but hey, it's really, really great to add on to the legacy because his legacy is already made, but things like this just adds on to it. That's all I'm trying to say. So Conor, in order to win this fight, his mind needs to be 100%. I'm not worried about the skill. I know his skills are there. His mind, though. That's the only worry for me because, dude, I got $100 million in the bank, bro. I don't really think I'm going to want to be getting punched in the face anymore.
Yeah, and I'm on the corner, Sander, of where I believe Conor is there. I think he already has fighting at a later stage of his life. Like, I just think he's past that now, and I think that he's just trying to keep his reputation as a UFC fighter to continue his business ventures because he knows before anything – before his business, he's a fighter, so he has an obligation. I think once after that that Floyd Mayweather Conor McGregor fight, and he made the big money, I think that some of his heart actually got out of it because you said it. I'm financially set. Do I really want to get punched in the face for the rest of my life? No, I made the money. So I honestly think that Dustin, I don't understand how he's the underdog. I really don't. I think only on reputation does Conor have that the favorite card. Because Poirier right now, I believe, let's just call it like this. They're both 90 overall fighters. Let's say like in like a Madden scheme UFC fighter thing. But sometimes you know which 90 overall guy is just better. And I feel at this point in their careers, Dustin is just a little better than Conor is at the moment. Like I feel like, I think Pride put up a beautiful stat that says that Conor McGregor, he doesn't take back-to-back L's, and that's great. You know what I mean? That's definitely something you definitely want in your back pocket. But I just feel like that was Conor peaking. I feel like he's on the decline, and I could be wrong, guys. Maybe he does still have some prime years left. But I just think that Poirier right now, being the one guy, knowing he's next up in line after he's worked so hard to get there, it's his time right now. He definitely wants to be the champ, and I think that he has all the fitting to do it. And I think he should be fighting somebody better than Conor right now, honestly. Like, they just fought, but you know, the rematch is always great. We want the trilogy, so I understand, make it happen. The money's there. You're right, Sander. It's the pool, it's the fight we all want to see. But I think that you guys would agree, Conor's at six. Should he really be fighting the number one? I don't think so. I get it's only because it's Poirier.
It's because it's the rematch for sure.
Only because it's him. But if they have not just fought.
No, I'm gonna put it to you this way. It don't matter who's at number one. It's the same thing with John Jones. Whenever Conor returns to that lightweight division specifically, they throw him in there. Same thing with John. John can go do crack and go hit a pregnant lady, and he'll come back and they'll give him a title shot. Why? Because that's just the vision. And it's the same thing with Conor. Like, when he comes back, they're gonna give him
everything. I want to see Conor say baby Habib. Help me out with his name. You know who I'm talking about, right?
Oh, I know who you're talking about. I know who you're talking about. I don't know.
I think that'd be a better suit to play, bro, because of Ricky.
No, not at all, though. Not at all. Because here's the thing. Conor, right now, where he's at, he doesn't need to face no up-and-comer. Because Baby Khabib is an up-and-comer. I don't care what you say. Look, you can go ahead
I think he's like
Ricky. You can lick his toes. Look, you can lick his toes, bro, because you've been on his train for a while. And that's fine. And nothing against him, bro. But he is still an up-and-comer. This dude is not... He's not in the title picture yet. I mean, when you bring a guy like Conor back, and you got to remember, it's 1-1. Yeah, you know, Dustin dominated the second fight. Do you remember that first fight? So let's stop acting like you know, because you said it's a reputation thing. Well, yeah, it is, because right now they already have the title fight set, right? Think about it. Imagine this. If they give if they say, okay, Dustin, you got the winner, what's Conor going to say? And Dana don't want no, he don't want no heat with Conor, because remember, he wants to keep that bridge open. And then give it to Conor, what's Dustin going to do? He going to do the same thing. And is Dustin on the same level in terms of superstars Conor? No. But he is 110%. You're not letting him go. You're not going to be like, whatever. You're not going to blow off a guy like Dustin, who is a legit scrapper, who on his worst night could be top three in that division. You see what I'm saying? So, I personally, I think, I don't mind Conor having this fight. I really don't. Like I said, I just think if you look, it doesn't matter. If you look at when they were coming up through the ranks in the UFC, you can look at before UFC. You can look now. You can look into the future. You can look when they're both dead. Conor's better in every way, shape, or form. That's just me. That's just me. I personally believe, like you said, with the 99 thing, I just think the comparison is a little off. I think Dustin's a 90 and Conor, it's not that far high, but he's a 99.
I think they're both 90 right now. I think they're both 90.
No, that's fine. I got Conor. I get your point, though, because like I said, bro, it's best to have this trilogy just to get it over with, because last thing you want is dudes going 1-1. That is the last thing you want, because then people are going to be upset about that, you know? So it is the best thing to do that. Like I said, bro, just engage. Honestly, if you weren't going to have him fight Conor, I mean, the next best person for Dustin probably would have been Gaethje, considering they're both top three. But then the knock on him is the fact that he just got Molly D whopped by Khabib, to the point where Khabib made the interim title isn't that special, but he made that look like a complete joke. I'm talking about their shit. That, I promise you, what Khabib did to Justin, that's the reason there's not an interim title. That is the reason why they said, you know what, let's just take it and then we'll put it up. That's it. That's why they didn't give no interim title, because they knew, how bad Khabib did him. Yeah, bro, it was going to be bad. So I get your point, but, you know, like I said, bro, it is the fight to make. Regardless of the rankings, Conor could have been unranked, Dustin could have been unranked. It don't matter. It is the fight. Like you said, because of their history, you know, because, you know, you don't want to finish the fight 1-1, you know, but. You know, like, I don't know, Jay. I'm kind of against you a little bit, because I think Conor still has a little more in the tank. I don't think he's thinking full business yet. I don't think he's that point. I think he'll get to that point if he loses. Let's say he loses, and it's, like, convincingly. Like, if it's, like, a close split decision, then, you know, yeah, you could give Conor another one, because at least it wasn't that bad. But if he gets stomped, he's going to be I'm out of here, because, you know, at that point, he won't even need it.
Yeah. Nonetheless, guys, I am excited. You know, Sander, you made a great point that it's actually going to be full house, so the fans will be in attendance and we don't got to hear them actually get hit, which is a crazy experience in itself. It was so cool, but I remember the first fight actually hearing it. We're like, oh, and you already know the emotion that goes with it. But nonetheless, Poirier versus McGregor 3, July 10th. I'm very excited. Can't wait. But I do want to transition to the NBA, because the Denver Nuggets, you know, they're having a good run. Got Aaron Gordon, was making a lot of things happen. Went all the way up to the fourth seed in the West. Nikola Jokic, MVP front runner at the moment. And then the world came crashing down when Jamal Murray got injured and tore his ACL, unfortunately, which is the last thing that you ever want to hear from one of you guys on your team, Sander. So I feel very bad for the Nuggets right now, but they're very much still into the race. You know, I believe that they can still finish relatively high. But what do you think, Sander? You think that the Nuggets could still make a finals run without Jamal Murray?
Well, first, I want to say I'm sorry to my brother Jose, you know, the Nuggets fan in the family. You know, I know he's heartbroken. He woke up sad, like the Wolverine meme, crying over Jamal Murray. He was pretty sad. It's okay, brother. We got love. But to answer your question, JJ, and I don't want to sound disrespectful, but I might sound disrespectful. Hell no. A finals appearance? Hell no. Listen, they had like a 10% chance with Jamal Murray, right? Because obviously the Lakers are favored to come out the West. Without Jamal Murray, I'm sorry, man. I don't see this team being enough to make it to the finals. First of all, in the entire history of the Denver Nuggets, they've never been to a finals. So without Jamal Murray, their chances are better? Absolutely not. This team will still be very, you know, they will still play very well. I believe they'll probably still finish in the fifth, maybe sixth seed. I think they'll probably take a small dip with no Jamal Murray, because I just don't think his absence, there's enough on that team that can make up for his absence, especially in the playoffs. Because Jamal Murray, we saw it last season, that duel that he had with Donovan Mitchell, and they rode that momentum all the way to the Western Conference Finals. Like, when Jamal Murray, the Denver Nuggets, and Joker, they are legit. Unfortunately, when something like this happens, I know they added Aaron Gordon, and he's been playing phenomenal since he's there. He's been actually, you know, learning that. You see him on the sideline talking to Joker, you know, really learning the system. This is a dude that's very involved with the team, and he's happy to be in a winning situation. But I just don't believe Aaron Gordon and, you know, a guy like Barton and Michael Porter, who's playing well, but I just don't see that he's still ascending to me. And he's still, you know, he's still an injury question mark because of injury. So you just want to put all your marbles into that basket is what I'm trying to say. But I just don't see Denver Nuggets, you know, being able to make a run to the finals, guys, with Jamal Murray. If Jamal Murray was there, they have a little shot. But, dude, when you take a torn ACL like that to one of your best playmakers, your best scorers on the team, that dude helped Joker a lot. When Joker was manning the post, dishing it out to Murray, handling out in the perimeter, Jamal Murray is becoming an elite player. Just so unfortunate that something like this had to happen. And JJ Pride, I don't care what you guys say right now. There's no way in hell they'll make the finals. No way in hell.
So since obviously he's going to be out for the year, they're nearing a deal with Austin Rivers to hopefully try to bring him in. So that way it'll kind of fill a body and a guy to throw out there. Will they make the finals? They weren't going to make the finals regardless, even with Murray. So it's just, you're losing Murray. So you lose one of your best players, one of your top three players, regardless of where you want to put him. Well, you're losing one of the top three players, and then you guys are somehow supposed to make the finals? That just doesn't compute at all. Like, no disrespect to the Nuggets. And look, Joker, he's playing out of his mind. I love him. Obviously, like I said from the jump, bro, he's the best center in the league, and he's my MVP. But God, bro, Aaron Gordon got there, and I expected so much more from this dude. And, like, if you Google the word disappointment, you're going to see his face with his, like, with his weird looking 50 jersey and his goofy self, like, on the bench, like, goo. Like, no, like, I want to tread carefully because I don't like putting this comparison on anybody. But at this point, this man is the Kyle Kuzma of that team.
Oh.
This dude is barely averaging 11 points per game. I'm going to say it one more time. 11 points per game. This dude was supposed to come in. He was supposed to be the missing piece. He was supposed to be the knight in shining armor. He was supposed to come in and say, hey, yo, Mur, I'm here for help. Yo, Joe, what you need? Unfortunately, you became the Joe. You should go back to Orlando, and you should have stayed there. He should not have come at all. Like, I've never been so disgusted. And like a fool, I was screaming at the top of my lungs, yo, this is the trade. Denver did it. Now at this point, will the Lakers run through the West? Yeah, but they're going to have to see them. They're going to have to see the Nuggets, and that's going to be a problem. The problem is his play. That's the problem. They need to get rid of this man quick, fast, and in a hurry. I've never been so disappointed. They're not making the finals. They won't even make the Western Conference Finals at this point, bro. They, in order to make it that far, they needed all hands on deck. Well, guess what? Two hands ain't going to be there, and that's because one knee gave out. And that's Jamal Murray. And he's probably the second best player on that team. Well, not probably, definitely. He definitely is that second best player on that team. I don't care what nobody says. If you disagree, you're just stupid, and I don't argue with stupidity. So go on somewhere else. There's no way they're making the finals. Like, and honestly, JJ, when you sent this to us, right? Just in case no one knows how this works, right? So what JJ here, producer, he'll send us the topics, right? And then, you know, we try to percolate our thing. When I read this one, I put my phone down. I went to the bathroom. I had a good long look in the mirror because I swear to God, I kid you not, I started to laugh. And I thought this was fake. So I went in the mirror and I poked myself. Swear to God, I pinched myself and I was like, oh my God, this is real. So I went back and I was like, you know what? They're not making the finals, but you know what? Maybe they'll be, you know, somewhat of a threat. Cause you know, Aaron Gordon got there and they've been on this tear with Aaron Gordon. So I'm like, you know what? Maybe. Then I look at the stats. My guy. My two-year-old could freaking put up better numbers than this. And he's supposed to be the savior? Now him, he's supposed to slip in and be your number two? And the dude's showing like 30% from three, which for him is crazy because he's, if I wasn't mistaken, he was like a 33% shooter from the three. Now all of a sudden the dude gets the ball, don't know what to do with it. He ain't getting you no boards. He ain't getting you no assists. He getting you 11 points a game. What am I supposed to do with this?
Well, I'll tell you what it is, Pride, and you know, let me just jump in here. But right now, Aaron Gordon, expectations are crumbling you down, my friend. Like you said it, when the trade deadline came, guys, we celebrated Denver. We called them the winners of the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. We got Aaron Gordon, and Aaron Gordon is supposed to come and be that reliable, close to 20 points on a daily basis that you need, and he's barely giving you half, Pride. So I definitely understand why you're so upset with this man, because he should be upset with himself, and so should Denver, because this is a team who just last year found themselves in the Western Conference Finals. They had aspirations of making it there again. Both the LA teams aren't going anywhere, and Phoenix just came, and now they're like, hey, we're going to try to contend too. And then we got Utah. We're not sure what we're going to get, but Utah's been hot all year and should be given their due respect, at least until the postseason comes. So, yeah, no, I agree with you guys. This team doesn't just have it in them. They don't. You know, you lose. I'm not saying here that Jamal Murray is Jesus. Like, he's not, like, the top elite player that you need on your team. But he was a very integral part to this team's success. And standard, one of my favorite basketball events I ever watched was seeing Jamal Murray and Donovan Mitchell going at it at the bubble. That was a freaking sight to watch, man. That was beautiful basketball we were watching. And, you know, to see a young guy like him go down, especially, like I said, a torn ACL is the last thing you ever want to hear from one of your guys. So I'm very disappointed that he won't be able to play. You know, he's out indefinitely, but we know the truth. He'll probably be out for the rest of the year, Sander. So, yeah, I agree with you, my brother. I just don't think that they got it in them this year.
Yeah, they definitely don't, man. When you lose a piston like that, dude, say what you want about Jamal Murray. He's not, you know, he's not the flashiest guy. He's not, you know, probably the best guy in the league. But you know what? That dude was dependable. He was gritty. He had heart. He wasn't afraid of nobody. Jamal Murray was it. He was ascending. And what you saw in the playoffs, AJ, that's just breaking the ice. Jamal Murray is going to be in, you know, we've seen torn ACLs before. It's a tragic injury, but we see players come back from it. I'm hoping that we see, you know, him fully healthy again, because, you know, he makes that team legit.
Yeah.
I hate Aaron Gordon. I'm not even a Nuggets fan, and I hate him. it's to the point, I kid you not, bro, when I really looked it up, I was like, are we sure Orlando really didn't win that trade? Like, are we sure about that? Like, bro, this...
In hindsight.
I mean, guys, I still think it's a little too early to judge Aaron Gordon. I mean, we are still in April. So I know come playoff time, that's when we're really going to have to look at him. And then, Pride, you could give him the evil eye and give him the definition of disappointment in the dictionary. Because if he does show up like this and does this, he'll absolutely be a disappointment, guys. And
I'm telling this right now. I'm going to tell you this right now. It's getting to a point where if you give him another week, he's going to have played more games than he does average points. And then I dare you to tell me to not give him that evil eye. I dare you to tell me that.
Well, we'll keep the eye on him. But I do want to transition to the NFL, guys, because the NFL draft is coming soon. And, you know, we got Trevor Lawrence going as the overwhelmingly number one overall pick. But after him, Kyle Pitts is arguably the best player besides quarterback that's in this draft. And if anybody watched Florida last year, man, this guy he's racked up, man. And let's just call it true. He's a receiver playing tight end. That's really what it is. He just has this massive size. He's great. I think that this kid is going to be a splash, whoever does end up landing him. And at the moment, Pride, it's looking like the Falcons have the fourth pick. You know, they got projected number one, Jacksonville, with Trevor Lawrence. Number two, Zach Wilson is penciled in most reports. And then number three, Justin Fields, Mac Jones, Trey Lance. We still don't know. San Francisco guys is all in an anxious state of mind because we don't know what they're going to do. But there is Falcons, the number four pick with Kyle Pitts. You think they should draft him, or you think they should trade the pick?
Well, first and foremost, they definitely should keep the pick. There's no way I'm trading that pick at all. And if I'm the Falcons, I'm getting a quarterback, period. I don't care what quarterback it is, I'm getting a quarterback. Period. All this, I'm going to say this from day one. Anyone who's known me, known I said this. Matty Ice is the epitome of an average quarterback who everyone hopes is great. He is Tony Romo 2.0. A good quarterback who everybody wanted to squint their eyes and say he was great. That's it. If I'm gonna say this right now, I would have given up this dude. I would have given up Matt Ryan 2 years ago. They want to keep him. That's fine. But if you want to keep him, understand something. This dude has been on the decline. And if you're telling me you expect him to snap out of it and play better, you're fooling yourself. You're fooling yourself. If anybody in that, I'm going to say this right now. If anybody in that Atlanta Falcons organization go in when they have their boardroom meeting, right, and they go, okay, fourth pick, what are we doing? If any of them, say, you know, we should get that kid Kyle Pitts. They should be fired, get no severance pay, and then, like, get him out of the state of Georgia. I don't care where you put him. Get him out of the state of Georgia. There's no way he should even think about getting – nothing against
Kyle Pitts. But you're under the impression that they should grab the leftover whoever just left.
Basically. Okay. But that's what you have to do, because if you think about it, so they're wide receiver. You don't need anyone else to throw the ball to. They got Gabe, right? They got Julio, who's going to come back, and then they got Cordell Patterson. He flew down there, and they're having a meeting. And I'm almost 100% sure that they're going to get him. So you have a decent trio right there, right? Then you have Hurst coming at the tight end, which I have no problems whatsoever. I don't. You want to know what the problem is in that team? The phony guy. The dude who should have been gone. The dude who had no business being here for at least the last 2 years.
Eli 2.0.
Matt Ryan. Oh, no. I put him above Eli.
No. In the sense as in, like, he should have been gone years ago. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. When the Giants kept Eli for like a little. Yes. They kept him. If you want to say that, that's fine. Yeah. Because they definitely should have gotten rid of him. Yeah, they definitely should have gotten rid of Matt Ryan.
That's all I mean.
They definitely should have gotten rid of him.
I know Matt Ryan is more talented than Eli,
The thing is, where it's iffy, Justin Fields, if I'm mistaken, today was his second pro day. The Falcons were there. The Patriots were there. Basically, teams with the top 15. Yes, every single team who was there had a top 15 pick. I don't even know why we showed up, because he's going to be gone before we get it. And I'm a Patriots fan. We got the 15 pick. I don't even know why we went.
You never know.
Somebody must have wanted a vacation. I don't know.
Mel Kiper in his latest mock draft had you guys trading with the Cowboys actually at number 10 to get Justin Fields, because
he's going to be gone by then.
Landed there.
He's gonna be gone by then.
Yeah, so that's Mel Kiper, though.
Maybe it's possible that he knows something more. That is possible.
Yeah, okay.
But I just don't see, because based on his pro day, the 49ers are head over heels with this kid. They're in love with him to the point where it's almost a consensus that they're gonna get him because of how much they like him. So now my thing is, Atlanta. They're the same thing as the 49ers. They got their heart set on Justin Fields. Problem is, he might not be there, and they're not fully sold on Trey Lance. They're not fully sold on Matt. They're not really sold on anybody, which is kind of unfortunate considering the fact that you need a quarterback. You're going to need a quarterback.
Well, that's the thing. If you're Atlanta Pride, you really can't fall in love with anybody because you're going to get the fourth guy. So you really can't really put your heart into a guy that might possibly not land to you because you got three other quarterbacks going before you.
And that is true. But at the same time, it doesn't matter who they get. They need a quarterback.
If that's the case, then you take that fourth pick and you package something together and you try to get that number two pick.
You're not doing that. And I'm going to tell you why. This Falcons team, let me ask you a question. What quarterback would they trade for with that pack, with that fourth pick? What quarterback would get them to not only make them win a division, but make a legitimate run in the Super Bowl? Spoiler alert, none. Okay, so what's the point of trading that pick?
Exactly.
When you can just, because what I would do, I would keep him. If you don't get him, you should either go for Trey Lance or Mac Jones. One of them. Get him, work with him, see what they got, see how they're working with. See what you're working with. And if they're bad, don't tell no one. Ship them out. Because, listen, rookies get traded all the time. Especially on that rookie contract, they don't care. They don't care. And when you go there somehow, if this organization is somehow in love with Matt Ryan for another 2 years, you still have a kid who's learning behind. I'm not even going to say Matt Ryan because that's almost unlearning.
He's a pro, though.
he's a veteran that he could learn from. It's not like it's there's learn from worse.
You're not what are you gonna learn? How to blow a lead in the Super Bowl? Anyway, no. Hey, you're not learning nothing from Matt Ryan.
Again, what I'm saying is that Matt Ryan just knows how to conduct himself as a franchise quarterback. Say what you say about him.
He's an MVP.
But he's definitely never been in the bad image in the public, is all I'm saying, right?
No, I'm not saying nothing about the public image. He could be a great guy. He could save orphans on the weekend, and he can go volunteer at the animal shelter. I don't care. That doesn't matter to me. On the football field, at best, he's average. Am I right?
He won an MVP, Pride.
He's average at best now. Go ahead, Sandra, though, with the question.
Okay, so he won an MVP, what, 3 years ago? 4 years ago?
Like 4 years ago now.
4 years ago? Okay, did he win the MVP this year? Like everyone says that every time I say something about Matt Ryan, they always hit me with the MVP. And here's my thing. That was 4 years ago. What's the stats? And then everyone just goes, nobody really wants to talk about it. Homeboy, he's not that good. And if I'm getting a new kid, ain't no way. I mean, that's the equivalent of me running the Giants. And then, like, what they're doing? They were like, oh, yeah, yo, Danny Dimes going from Eli. Only thing he learned is how to throw picks. And I love the kid, but that's the only thing he picked up from Eli. Until then, he ain't learned nothing from him. You ain't learning nothing from Matt Ryan. Whatever youngster you get, whoever the quarterback coach, pick your favorite, quarterback coach, offense coordinator, you're going to be attached to him on the hip. Learn for a few years. Then when you eventually finally have the cojones to kick this man out of town, which is what he deserves, just put him in the trash can, kick him, let him floor up, like, let him just roll down the road, doesn't matter. You can plug whatever new kid you got. Obviously, they want Justin Fields. I don't think they're going to get him because I think the Niners are going to end up getting him. But whether it be Trey Lance or it be Mac Jones, doesn't matter. But I'm not trading that pick, and they 110% need to get a quarterback.
Jesus Christ. I mean, you heard as soon as you said quarterback, I'm like, thank you, because finally someone is coming to their senses. All this talk about – listen – get straight to it. Kyle Pitts, everybody's saying that out of everybody in the draft, there's usually one player that becomes a Hall of Famer. And Kyle Pitts has the greatest chance of becoming the Hall of Famer in the entire draft. So, listen, I'll give you guys that. People say he's the most dangerous guy coming out of Florida. You ever heard of Aaron Hernandez? But that's not the case. But what I'm trying to say is Kyle Pitts, he's a great talent, guys. He's a phenomenal talent. Any team that gets him is going to have a great asset right there. But, JJ, when we look at the draft and we look at the teams 1 through 5, they need quarterbacks. I know Matt Ryan, you know, he's not the best quarterback, but he's not the quarterback to have. Not right now. The dude, he's old. He's a sitting duck. He's a dinosaur out there. What I'm trying to say is get a damn quarterback. If it's Trey Lance, I prefer Mac Jones in that dome, you know, in Atlanta. I think he would, you know, I think, you know, the Atlanta environment for Mac Jones, I think he would fit right in. But, dude, have a year, sit down with that quarterback, have him learn whatever you can learn. You know, maybe watch tape only from that MVP season, Pride. Only from that MVP season. Just watch all the tape you can from that one, from Matt Ryan. And try and learn as much as you can. Learn from Julio. Because, dude, you're fighting for what, third place, second place? Because you're not going to overtake Tampa. You're most likely not going to overtake New Orleans because Sean Payton is a genius and he knows what to do out there. So what are you guys looking for? Third place? I say the same thing with the Jets. You're going to have to start this rebuild mode. Julio Jones is another year older. You got Todd Gurley there. He's not the Todd Gurley from the Rams. What I'm saying is there's talent on this team, but it's like aged wine. It's fine to have, but you know it's old, and it's getting older by the minute. I think the Falcons should straight up pick a quarterback. If Trey Lance, if it's Mac Jones, and Pride. If San Fran F's up and doesn't pick up Justin Fields, and he's sitting at number 4, that would be my steal of the draft, hands down. Whoever Kyle Pitts go, you know, whoever gets him. But if Atlanta were to get Fields, it'll be the steal of the draft because that's the dude to me. I think, say what you want about Lawrence, number one, sunshine. All right, whatever. Say what you want about Wilson out of BYU for the Jets. whatever. Fields is my guy. For me, Fields is the most talented quarterback in the quarterback draft. But Atlanta, dude, you're fighting for third place. You don't got – it's not going up. You're going to be stagnant the whole time. So why do this with Matt Ryan and have Kyle Pitts and, you know, add to the offensive weapon? Because I don't care who you add to that offense. You're not beating the Tampas. You're not beating New Orleans twice. For sure you're not. And plus, the NFC is going to be stacked again. Green Bay ain't going nowhere. Depending on if San Fran – let's say San Fran does pick up the kid out of Ohio, Fields, right? Let's say they do pick him up. San Fran is right there with that talent on that team and Fields at quarterback. That team is right there to compete. So what are you fighting for, Atlanta? I know my friend Sadar, he's a big Atlanta fan, and, you know, he always talks about, you know, Matt Ryan is just not it anymore. But, look, your own fans are saying it, guys. I don't know what else to say. You're probably not going to listen to us, but the best advice for me to give to Atlanta, definitely don't trade the pick. Keep the pick because you need that pick. But get a quarterback and build, because as long as Tom Brady's in that division, as long as Sean Payton is in that division, you're fighting for a wild card spot at best.
Yeah, I just think it sucks to be a Falcon fan because you said it, third place in the division, and now you're going to get the fourth quarterback in the draft. So you're basically fighting over sloppy thirds and sloppy
fourths. Oh, and they just got Sam Darnold in the division. I'm sorry, they just got Sam Darnold in the division. Pride, you were praising. You were thanking the Lords that he got out of that situation in the Jets, and now he's in that division as well. So you're really probably competing for fourth place.
By yourself. So – yeah, no, I agree. And I don't feel as strong about this like I did with Darnold, like I do with Matt Ryan. But I also feel like I did with the whole Darnold situation. None of these quarterbacks are better than Matt Ryan at the moment. They're just not. You know, and maybe – and that could change at the end of a year just because of style of play. These guys are most mobile, and that could maybe give him the edge over Matt Ryan. But – let's not act like Matt Ryan is not serviceable. At least he stays healthy. He can't play 16 and give you solid production. You don't think a guy like Kyle Pitts could give life to a guy like Matt Ryan? You're strengthening your strength. You're giving him another target. I think it's a great target for him. None of us are going to say he's not a good target. He's an awesome target wherever it gets him.
Let me just say one thing. I'm not saying that the Falcons should not get Pitts because he's bad. Sure. That's not my point. The dude is a phenomenal talent. I'm only saying it because think about it. If you get Kyle Pitts, you're not going anywhere.
Go you're get fighting necessity. For get necessity. So
what I'm saying is, I get it. Kyle Pitts, he's this phenomenal talent. But why not get a quarterback, mail it in for a few years? Because like you said, John, not going nowhere. Because I promise you, after next year, and they go 5-11 or 5-12, because now that they had another game, because they're going 5-12. This team isn't going anywhere. They're not going anywhere. So why waste a pick for now when you can arguably go and say, you know what, let's just get a quarterback and let's prepare for the future.
There's going to be offensive weapons always, JJ. Quarterbacks, it's once in a generation sometimes, man.
And I get that, guys, and I guess I'll leave it with this. I'm just not sold on any of these guys. I don't feel like they're going to be better in. Guys like Kyle Pitts, he's going to be the hit. And if you could land him, maybe trade him. You never know. You could get some value out of Kyle Pitts before he even puts on a uniform. Nonetheless, the fourth pick in the draft with Atlanta is going to be one we're all going to keep an eye on. Maybe they trade it. Maybe they won't. But we'll just have to find out, guys. I'm just very excited to see where he's going to land. We're Stir the Pot Sports. Make sure you check us out on our Facebook and Instagram pages at Stir the Pot Sports. Also, make sure you check out our website at clovercrestmedia.com/Stir the Pot Sports, and you can check us out on Spotify. Make sure you just type in CMG Sports, and voila, Stir the Pot Sports will arrive. I'm your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brother Riley Barrett and Sandra Sanchez. We'll catch you on Friday. Yeah.
Hi, my name is Allison Gamber. I'm the executive director for the Cove Center for Grieving Children. Our office is located in Meriden, and we provide services throughout Connecticut. We are so excited to be having a virtual event coming up, the Hope and Healing Virtual Auction and Celebration. The auction will be held April 22nd through the 24th, and the celebration will be held on the evening of April 24th to talk all about the Cove services and what we've accomplished over the last 26 years. If you'd like to join us for the celebration, registration is free, and you can find all that information on www.covect.org. And the link for the virtual auction will be put up there on the evening of April 21st to start live auctioning on April 22nd. So come and join us to celebrate the Cove and raise some funds so we can continue to offer our programs free of charge.